I do invite you now to hear words that come from the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child and like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And in the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel, then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometowns that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue was filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the cliff on which their town was built, so they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. May the Lord our God bless this reading to our hearts and to our lives. Amen.
Last week I preached on the call of Jesus and job descriptions, and I challenged us to examine our own job descriptions. So what is God calling us to do? We see in this morning's gospel lesson, this continuing in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus truly does understand his calling, his job description, his ministry. He set the scrolls down, took his seat, and the people waited, anticipating the words of wisdom that he would have to say about the prophets. What did he say? "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown." And then he goes on to teach about how God used Elijah and Elisha. And the crowd became enraged. They were angry. And so they left the synagogue and they took Jesus off at this cliff, and they wanted to throw him off. Now, Jesus could have decided, "Hey, this call is not for me." Could have heard the accusations and the anger of the crowd and said, "Hey, I'm done. I don't need any of this." But instead, what did he do? He believed so much in his calling that he walked through that crowd and he walked away. It seemed to be a need for his ministry to go beyond being the hometown. But he would go out to the countryside and to the towns and to the cities, and he would preach about God, and he would heal, and he would bring new life and light into the life of people. Well, this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what happens when we're called and we're not sure the answer can be yes. Frodo, the Hobbit. Lord of the Rings, got Lord of the Rings fans here? A few, yeah? Well, Frodo had this call to destroy the evil ring. And before its power is able to corrupt and destroy all of Middle-earth. Now, this call involves a long, extremely dangerous journey, and the likelihood of Frodo coming back alive was not very great. In one scene, Frodo expresses his fear and his wish that the ring had never come to him. And Gandalf the wizard tells Frodo, "We cannot choose the time we live in. We can only choose what we do with the time that we are given." Or perhaps you remember this line from Fiddler on the Roof from Tevi. He says, I know, we are the chosen people, but once in a while, can't you choose someone else?" The Bible, of course, has lots of examples of call and how one responds. Remember the story of Moses in the third chapter of Exodus. There was Moses out on the hillside minding his own business, which was a time of tending his father-in-law's flock, when the angel of the Lord suddenly appears before him in the form of a bush. And Moses backs off in fear and covers his face as God announces to a cowering figure, "Moses, I will send you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Right. "And who am I that should go to Pharaoh?" "I will be with you," God says. "Prove it." It's written all over Moses' face. So God works a miracle or two, and still Moses won't cooperate, reacting instead with a series of sidestepping "yeah, buts." "Yeah, but who do I say that you are?" Or, "Yeah, but who? Suppose they don't listen to me." "Yeah, but what if they don't believe me?" "Yeah, but I can't talk straight." And God's response is, "I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to speak." "Oh, Lord," Moses says, "please send somebody else." You get the idea, right? Or perhaps you recall Gideon, the wimp of Manasseh, the clan's leader, to whom the angel of the Lord appears in Judges 6 and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God obviously sees us differently than we see ourselves. Then how come we're so miserable, Gideon says. "How come we're all eating crow because those mean old Midianites?" Or anyway, "What happened to all those miracles that used to seal the deal?" The angel says, "I commission you to deliver Israel from the Midianites." Gideon says, "You commissioned me? Oh, come on, God. I'm the puniest one of my family." "But I will be with you," the angel says. "You will strike down the Midianites." And Gideon says, "Yeah, right. Not that I don't believe you, but could you supply me with an elaborate sign or two? The angel makes some hand motions. Oh, no, you really are God. Oh, geez, what am I going to do now? And then there's Jeremiah. These words from Jeremiah from the first chapter. It says, Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy. For you shall go to all of whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah is but a young lad studying to become a priest. He is a son of a priest and hopes to follow father's footsteps. He studies with other boys who hope that one day to be a teacher and a leader in the temple cult, to make their place in the ranks of the priests. And then God comes directly to him, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, But I'm too young, I'm just a boy. God says, Don't say that you're only a boy. But I can't speak, says Jeremiah. I will take care of that, says God. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms. God is persistent. God does not take no for an answer. And eventually, Jeremiah receives great clarity. Well, over the years, Pastor Lynn and I have attended various pastors' retreats. There are often between 25 or 50 of us. And I'm sure that there were colleagues attending those retreats that at some time in their ministry had doubted their call. Perhaps it was during the period of discernment, the initial calling. Or perhaps they doubted the call of a particular church or faith institution or organization. Perhaps it's a time of personal crisis. Many pastors have doubted their call to ministry. Jeremiah and Moses had doubts to their calls. A pastor spoke about the fact that in all things, it would seem that we have choice. As a human beings, we have the ability to choose from right and wrong. As consumers, we expect or demand choice among several products. As negotiators of life, we prefer options. But God does not ultimately allow us choice. God understands the frailty of our humanity. And God understands the desperation of our situation. And God understands the fears we might have. Yet God is persistent. God does not allow us a choice. Now, last week I spoke about being called by God and the job description given to each of us. God may send an angel, like he did to Gideon. Remember, there are angels all around us. But if not an angel, maybe a friend or a colleague. God may not speak to us directly, but a fellow member. God comes in many forms and in many ways. A still small voice. A need expressed, a tap on the shoulder, a telephone call, a text, a tweet, a Facebook entry. Called, and you are called. Perhaps as a church board member, or chair of a committee, or member of a committee. Perhaps to sing in a choir, or play a musical instrument. Be an instrument for outreach, a teacher. to be a supportive person of a ministry or activity or event, to speak upon behalf of the poor or the homeless, the mentally ill, and the disabled. Discerning is not easy. And when you experience a call, it may not seem to be the right one. You may not feel ready. I encourage you, though, to be open to God's calling. I encourage you to trust that God will be with you every step of the journey. Allow God's Spirit to challenge you, to stretch you, to inspire you. Go boldly into life as one of God's called children. Amen.